G'day guys, welcome to the latest Road to Ironman episode. This time we're going to talk about time management. I think everybody that I chat to, or most of them, and I say I'm going to do Ironman, it's first comment is you're crazy or don't you have a life, and then the second comment is where do you find the time? I'm so busy the whole time. And then during that conversation somewhere they tell you about the latest Game of Thrones series that came out, and this show and that show, then you start picking up that, you know what, actually everybody has time. I mean, we all have 24 hours a day. It's your decision what you do with it. And you actually prioritize what's important to you. And for some people, it's important to socialize. For other people, it's important to spend time with their kids. For other people, it's important to attempt an Ironman. I think in today's world, trying to get to everything at once, it's also important to try and balance all of that. And time management can be a tricky component. And this episode, we want to chat about that. And with the three of us being complete novices and attempting our first Ironman next year, all three of us have different scenarios when it comes to work and family and friends, responsibilities, etc. So I think out of the three of us, there should be quite a decent explanation of what is possible and also what is difficult, and that we're all just human and trying to beat our best at the end of the day.
I think what's important is that we just, all three of us, are normal people with challenging work lives, families, other people that that rely on us or that we are dependent on us. So I think that's the important thing. We don't just have weeks and days available filled with time just for training and rest and recovery and all that extra time built in. I mean, we really just are three average people with busy lives, like so many of us, like everyone else that I know, most of my friends, people I work with. We're nothing special.
Renzo, on yours.
And I think just to pick up on one thing that you said, Philip, I mean, it doesn't have to be a trade-off. So some people, it's important to be a parent, and other people, it's important to be an Ironman. I mean, I look at you, and I know that you're an absolutely dedicated father and family man, but your goal is to achieve Ironman and then comrades. And so I think that I'm hoping that out of this conversation, people can start to see that with the right set of priorities, they can achieve great things and not have to sacrifice what is already important for them. Certainly things like family. Because, I mean, I'm a family man too, and you both are, you know, very family oriented. You've got your own family. And I'm not prepared to compromise on my family. Mm. And that's my highest value is family. But my goals are absolutely important to me. So it's about finding the right balance there.
Yeah, no.
So how do you, I mean, sorry, carry on.
Yeah, what I found, what helped for me after like really sitting down and actually writing down, okay, I want to sleep 7 to 8 hours a evening. I spend X amount of time at work, a couple of other things that we're involved in with regards to social responsibility, etc. So once you start breaking your day down, you start to realize, okay, well, there is actually here and there a slot open for me to fit in training. But what is also great about that, almost like a summary that you are doing, you are making sure that the time that you do actually spend, like with my children, I make sure it's quality time. So when you're just lazing around, everybody's just watching stories and you've got a normal family life, it's like, okay, well, if I want to spend time with them, I can. They're there the whole time. But now all of a sudden your time becomes more valuable to you. So the way you spend it, you want to make sure that that return is there. So it's not just, okay, well, we're going to have a weekend with the kids. It's okay, well, we're going to do that. We're going to go there. We're going to go to the beach, etc. So it's almost like you force a more dedicated time towards them. And actually then it becomes more valuable than a normal weekend just floating around the house.
Yeah. I have to say that that probably is for me the biggest challenge, because by the end of the week, when I get to the weekend, I'm pretty tired. My body is fatigued. I'm fatigued. Because the one thing I've not got right in terms of balance yet is sleep. I'm not getting enough sleep at the moment, and I know that, and it's a goal of mine to figure out a different solution. But then when it comes to the weekends, all I want to do is sleep. I want to have an afternoon nap, train hard in the mornings, get some food in, do some family time, and then I just want to crash. And I do lose time. So with a family, so for me, what you've just said becomes so important. And I took a leaf out of the book of the coaching that I do with executives, where I said to executives who struggle with work-life balance, I said to them, if you want to try and figure out balance in your life, forget about changing any time structure in your day. You know, if you're spending 14 hours a day at work, well, you've got a problem, but don't change that for now. What you must change is when you're at work, be 100% present at work. In other words, when you're having a conversation with a person in front of you, be 100% present and get the best out of that conversation with them. Don't multitask, because that distracts you, and then you're not 100% present, and then you miss stuff. And then I said, when you go home, do exactly that with your family. Be 100% present. There's no space for work. There's no space for anything else. So I'm doing that with my family, and that's helping me, because then it is quality time. Then we're getting really, really good time with one another, and I don't feel like I'm compromising them with my Ironman training.
And also, at the end of the day, we can do all the training in the world, we can get to Ironman and achieve our goals, but to not have that support system there, and to not know that they're there, must be one of the most heartbreaking feelings ever. I think, just from my experience and just in life in general, like, our family and our friends are our support system. They are our biggest cheerleaders, and they are... their role in all three of our road to Ironman is going to be instrumental. Just looking yesterday at Jan Frodeno and at Eliud Kipchoge, as they finished their races, the look on their faces changed completely when they saw that one person standing there that they love more than anything else in the world at the finish line. And I think it definitely doesn't have to be a compromise or a sacrifice. It doesn't mean you have to lose your friends or family in that journey. I think more than ever, it just magnifies the importance of that person in your life and the role that they're going to play in your personal success in
getting
to Ironman, or to anything in life, whether it's a change in your career or whether it's a comrades marathon or an Ironman. Like, that person or that group of people is going, like, more than ever in this journey, we're going to have to look after and nurture those relationships even more than we did before, but through quality, meaningful time, like you've both touched on already.
Yeah, I think what's important is that these loved ones actually, they take on this responsibility with you. like partners, etc., that needs to look after kids while training is happening, or even kids needing to be shifted around to work in a training session on a Saturday, etc. So they also by default accepting this goal that you want to achieve, and obviously if it's done in the right way, and they also appreciate the growth that comes out of it, and it's part of your dream, and you are supporting them just as much in reaching their dreams, it becomes a mutually beneficial experience. And then obviously the oxytocin or the serotonin or whatever gets expelled once you cross that finish line, that obviously just cements that that growth during that quality time as well. And
yeah,
I think it's also important to just flip the coin to the other side as well, which I sometimes think a lot about. I love my children dearly, and I'll fight my fingers off for them. But it's also important to just remember that they also grow up. They also are going to have a life of their own. And I'm all for it, people dedicating their whole lives to their kids, and that's exactly what I'm doing, but it's one component of my life. When they do leave the house one day and they go off in their own world, and we'll always be in touch and spend quality time together, there should be other aspects of my life that's keeping me going, that's keeping me motivated. That you shouldn't just have one focus and then all of a sudden that, for whatever reason, falls away or doesn't become so... intense with regards to the time you need to spend on it, and then you've got nothing else that keeps your mind occupied.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I mean, my eldest son is 26. He lives in Amsterdam. So, yeah, I mean, life moves on.
Yeah.
And so it's very important to have my own priorities. And so I'm his number one fan. I think he's my number two fan. My partner's my number one fan. And he's a bit distracted with his life, which is 100% fine, and it's what I expect, right? Mm. But absolutely, it's important, and I think part of the prioritizing is so when I give quality time to the rest of the family, I don't feel guilty. So when I'm on the road, like I was yesterday for 4 hours cycling, I don't feel guilty, and it's really good quality me time, and I get to enjoy myself, and I get to, love the feeling of my body working hard and clearing my brain and enjoying the views of Valley of a Thousand Hills and just like living life. So I don't feel guilty. And so it's not for me kind of a compromise of time.
Yeah.
Because there's balance. Yeah. How about work?
Yeah, I think that's the tricky part is that although, let's say, our children or our families, probably most of the time, our first or second most important fact in our life, depending on if you're religious or not, then certain factors like your work starts to play a role, etc. But if we like it or not, the one part that our work does play is from a financial perspective, and all of the other components, unfortunately, sometimes dependent on that. So you almost tend to need to compromise the least amount of time with your work, depending on what type of work you've got and the relationship you've got with your employer, or if you've got your own business, etc. But what I've realized is after going through that exercise of splitting my day in between sleep, work, quality time with the kids, training, eating, etc. And you realize, this is actually something that I can do. Something that Stephen Covey told me with that 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, the book, and I've been listening to the ebook quite a lot recently as well, is you should try and imagine you are at your funeral, and people there, a family member, a friend, and a colleague is talking about you, the type of person that you are, and what would you like them to say? And if you begin with that end in mind, then you start to realize, exactly like you said, there's a lot of things that we can be busy, that we can be juggling around, but if you give each one the attention that it deserves, you grow in that specific area in your life and you're moving forward. And now you're moving over to the next thing, you're focusing on that. I believe I'm very good at multitasking, but what I try and be attentive to is, they call it hustle while you wait. So while I'm driving to work, while I'm in the shower, while I'm quickly putting popcorn in the microwave, for that 2 or 3 minutes, I'm quickly going through 5 or 6 different things that needs to happen over the next hour or 2 or day or 5. And when that activity does come up, I've already almost like envisioned what I need to do. And it helps me to prepare for the next thing. So I think hustle while you wait. Don't let there be these lulls in your day where you are procrastinating and thinking negative thoughts. Rather use those times constructively to focus on how can I do something better? Where can I find more time? I've stopped not necessarily not reading books, but instead of falling asleep after the 3rd or 4th page in the evenings because I'm too tired, I started to listen to ebooks in the car. That's a very good compromise. You still get the information in, it's just with another mechanism. So find ways, creative ways of still getting to what you enjoy, but doing it while you're busy with something else.
I've heard it said that it's that people who do Ironman are typically your A-type personalities or your overachievers or whatever you want to call it. But not from a negative perspective. It's usually people who are quite successful in life, right? So not necessarily financially or from a status career perspective, but they're just successful. And while you're speaking, while the three of us are speaking, what I'm noticing is that to achieve an Ironman, I think the one aspect of most people's lives that we waste is time. And because, I don't know, maybe we think we've got so much of it. And so we're not effective with our time, and we waste a lot of it. And when you're faced with a massive challenge like an Ironman, where you have to be training between 10 and 16 hours a week, depending on the program you're on, right? So you don't have to, but you know, that's usually the rule of thumb. When you're investing that amount of time, then suddenly you need to become a lot more clear about your priorities, and you need to become a lot more effective in how you use your time. And I think that that breeds success. It breeds the right quality of balance for most people in their lives. And I don't know what you feel about that, but it's certainly a catalyst for personal growth outside of all the other growth that we get out of our training.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think, I mean, I'm just going to touch on what a typical week might look for me now, because exactly like that importance of actually I am an A-type personality. I'm an INTJ personality type. I plan a lot. I use to-do lists for everything. But I also, and I'm not saying everyone needs to do this, but I get up probably between 4 and 5 o'clock every single morning during the week, most days of the week, most weeks of the month. And I use that time to plan a lot between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. But also what I do is, because I work from home, I don't have to go in an office job, but I also find I need to almost structure my days if I do have an office job to make sure that I can get the training done, so I can make sure that I actually schedule in my training, because it's very easy when you work from home that you can get very distracted by a lot of other things that you are doing in your home environment and also in your work. It's very easy for us to get addicted to working. So I wake up, for example, just on a normal day, I would wake up at 4 o'clock. I do my planning, a lot of my admin, answer some emails, catch up on WhatsApp from the day before. I then schedule my training for early in the morning. I am absolutely useless with training in the evening, and I know myself well enough to know that. So I don't just say, oh, well, I'll see how the day goes and then hope that I can get my training in after work or when I'm finished with work today. I know myself well enough, and I'm not going to put that pressure on myself. So I'll rather sit on a Sunday and work out, okay, this is what I'm doing this week. This is how much time I've got available on these days. And then I schedule my training around my life as well. I don't make my training the be all and end all of everything. And I'm not going to not commit to things that I've already committed to just to get a training session in. I will work around it. If I need to do... I know exactly up front, I've got 6 or 9 sessions I need to do for the week, and I will work them into the days and work my day. Sorry, I'm talking rubbish now and I'm getting tired because I am falling asleep right now. excuse me. So I will take my week and break it into blocks and then schedule my training into the blocks and time when I have available. And it really makes a big, big difference. Just that planning ahead, like you have to do that, like regardless of how busy you are or what other commitments you have, like you need to plan your training like you plan your work as well, or your family time or your social events.
That's why I love routine, because it feels like I'm more in control, which is obviously it's got its benefits, but it also has its disadvantages, because when that routine, for whatever reason, due to traveling or sickness or something else, falls apart, then what then? So what I've learned myself or taught myself in the last couple of years is to find a routine in chaos, where something does come up, but what can you do about it? And that's why I love playing around with certain concepts and ideas to at least try it out. And if it doesn't work out, then I know I've turned that stone over, and it works for me. If it doesn't work for me, because I'm always trying to work smarter and work clever to save time. One of the aspects was my nutrition that I focused on. We are now trying the whole vegan thing, not 100%. It's more like, I think they call it a flexitarian. I just, after seeing that Ironman is sponsored by that Vega plant-based company, and listening to a couple of podcasts and watching a documentary or two, and then some religious / spiritual thoughts that I've had over the last couple of weeks as well, as just said, okay, well, let's give it a try. Some of it makes sense, some of it sounds interesting. So also don't be afraid of doing, I almost want to say doing your own thing. We sometimes so used to, oh, the pros are doing that, that person is doing that, that entrepreneur or that CEO is doing that, I need to do something similar. I'm not saying don't listen to their advice. What I'm saying is take in as much as you can, but don't be afraid of slotting in your own spice and making up your own recipe. Sometimes we just get too entrenched in advice that other people give us. We don't really go and make up our own mind.
No, absolutely. That's interesting because so I'm kind of a blend of both of you in my approach to my time management, but completely different. So when I was training for Durban Half, kind of from this time last year until June, this year, I planned my own training. So I try to build my own training programs and I'd stick to it and then I wouldn't. And it was a complete thumbsuck and I was cobbling together stuff off the internet. And the one thing that I became aware of is that I need a structure that I can just follow. So I got a coach and what I love is that on a Monday, I know that I've got swimming in the evening. And so I just show up at swimming in the evening. And then by Monday, kind of lunchtime, we've got an app that we use. And I log on to the app and I have a look. And my training for the week is laid out. But what's also really cool is that I know that we've got a routine within the club. So on a Monday, we swim, just swim. On a Tuesday, we ride intervals. On a Wednesday, we run and we do swimming. On a Thursday, we ride. On a Friday, we run. And on a Saturday, we got a long ride. And on a Sunday, I've got a long run. And I know that that's the structure. And then the detail within that structure gets released in the app. And then I just comply with what's in the app. So it takes the thinking out of it for me. And so I've got the routine that I just work with. And then what I can put my energy into is building my routine at home so that my life kind of fits together.
That makes sense.
What I also love, by the way, is that so I'm a little bit like you, Christina. I like to wake up really early in the morning. And what the two things that work for me is that if I train first thing in the morning, number one, it's my time because my family is still asleep.
Yeah.
So I'm not losing any time with my family or work. You know, it's completely their time or my time. And then the second thing is there's no traffic on the roads or there's very little traffic on the roads. So I'm a lot safer. So I can get on to the road because I don't like training on indoor trainers. It's just a personal preference for me. I'm not like Lionel Sanders who does all of his training indoors. You know, that pro athlete. I like to be outside. So I know that if I'm out early, then there are no cars on the road, so I'm safe on my bike or I'm safer while I'm running. And then when I come home, the family's waking up and then we can get ready for school and we can take care of all of that stuff. So that works for me. And then it doesn't impact me in any way other than by 8 o'clock at night, I'm done. I've got to go to bed. So it's like straight after supper, I'm just heading straight for bed.
You know, I think we need to be honest with the listeners that perhaps maybe in a wild dream considering doing something like a half Ironman or Ironman, you unfortunately are going to have to allocate time to it. Like you said, anything from 10 to 16 hours a week. So me personally, with my history with running, I won't say all of a sudden my whole life changed. There was obviously additional training sessions, etc. But something that I cut out, which maybe 3-4 years ago I would have thought will never happen, is something like watching TV. And and what I found amazing now is the only time I really watch TV, except for the Survivor, marathon that we had over the last 2 or 3 weeks. The only TV I really watch is while I'm flying, I download documentaries on Netflix. And then I watch it on the aeroplane. And the other day, I had a couple of these documentaries downloaded, but for some reason it didn't, it expired or something. And there was one show that was automatically downloaded or something, but it's like a series. And I don't want to mention the series because otherwise some people are going to get angry because they might like it. But I ended up deciding, okay, well, I'm going to watch it because I've got nothing else to do now on the airplane. And I watched it. And although 4 years ago, it might have been one of the most interesting shows, I actually found it like useless. And afterwards, I felt guilty, like, did I just spend my hour on this? Almost like my rubbish. There's nothing besides a nice story out of it. There's nothing that I gained. Whereas with a documentary, at least you get some insight into how certain things works, etc. And that just showed me how, in my own way, I reconditioned my mind to focus on things that's to my benefit rather than to my destruction. And I don't think we realize the power that TV has over us, and we will schedule our lives around what TV shows are coming up and when it's being aired. So I think we need to be honest to the listeners, and there is a couple of nice to haves that you are going to sacrifice. But I mean, at the end of the day, nobody was lying in their deathbed and wished that they watched the last season of Game of Thrones. It's most of the time it's, I wish I gave my grandson another hug, or I gave my wife another kiss. It's more those type of experience memories that you want to do more than the
I don't know. For me, it would have been the Game of Thrones. It's got to be on. Although this last season was... anyway. No, but it's true. It's true. And I think there's another thing. That is from a social life perspective. A lot of people like to have a party-based social life. So they'll get together with the people that their friends, and then it's maybe late nights and it's alcohol and that kind of thing. And there's no space for that in Ironman training.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I cannot think of anything worse than having to wake up at whatever time in the morning, or even on a weekend where it's maybe a little bit later, but have to train with a hangover and spend 3 hours on the road running or 4 hours on the bicycle. I mean, I cannot. It catches me, so I like wine. You know, being with the Italian blood in me, I love wine. So I'll have one glass of wine while I'm making dinner, and then I'll maybe have another glass of wine while I'm eating dinner. And then sometimes, if it's been a really rough day, I'll look at the bottle and I'll think I could actually just cup this whole bottle because it's been such a day. And then I catch myself going, but I've got to run tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock, so there's no way I'm going to touch that. So it's a good thing. Probably managing an addiction. I don't know.
And you also find that your friend or your circles change with time. Slowly but surely, the people that's in your life tends to respect what you need to do a lot more than the previous types of friendships where partying was on the top of the priority list. So, but you know what, no disrespect towards anybody, but by default, you actually increase the quality of your social circles, which is actually a good thing in the long run.
Yeah. I mean, most people are doing Ironman because it's a healthy pursuit. Most people. Some people are obsessed with it, but that's a different podcast, I think.
It is.
We're not there yet.
Yeah, but I think this was hopefully as insightful as we thought it would be, to just give people a little bit of a perspective of how things work and what we've been through and what we've sacrificed and what we put down on the table in order for us to achieve our goals. And I think at the end of the day, if I take my previous goals that I met, crossing that finish line makes it all worth it. I think it's just important to, especially from a family perspective, just to keep in touch and make those moments that you do spend together, make it even of a higher quality than previously. And be sure to be their biggest supporter as they are yours as well.
100%. Good episode.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Welcome to the Road to Ironman 2020, Becoming a Better Me. This is the 6-month journey of three novices, Gerard, Christine and Renzo, taking on what is arguably one of the toughest endurance races of all time.
Full Ironman takes place in Port Elizabeth on the 29th of March 2020. The distances covered are 3.8 kilometer swim in the sea, a 180 kilometer bike ride, and a 42 kilometer run.
And you can follow our journey on this podcast series, and of course you can follow us individually on our social media platforms on Instagram and Facebook. Enjoy this episode.